Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back live on The Fan. Thanks to Byron for the update. We are Grant and Danny, and you are locked in to a nice little DC sports conversation on the 11th of April. We're getting you ready tonight for the biggest game of the cap season. Wizards back in action tomorrow. Nationals are idle. They are in Oakland for the final time in history, probably, unless something dramatic changes with baseball in Oakland, California. So lots still on the docket as we are now 2 weeks away from the NFL draft here on The Fan. As promised, though, caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to win a four-pack of VIP match tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby. It's a really cool offer they're doing. This is Saturday, April 20th against Houston. Your tickets are complete with an Old Glory player ambassador by your side to break down everything going on in the game. And you and your crew in real time will be able to talk with the ambassador as well as enjoy complimentary in-seat pizza delivery. This is all courtesy of Paisanos and Old Glory DC Rugby. So enjoy yourselves nice out there watching some rugby. Let's cover the Caps, Wiz, and Commanders coming up on the Beltway Blitz right now on The Fan. To begin, Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post. Bailey, tonight, a win and the Caps have over a 60% chance to get in. A loss and their chances drop to a little over 20%. Sure feels like a game they must win, huh?
It definitely does, and so did Tuesdays in Detroit, which they found a way to pull out in a pretty hostile environment in a game where they didn't play all that well for at least the first 30 minutes and got bailed out by Charlie Lindgren. So they're hoping not quite to recreate the same pattern tonight, but definitely need to win this game. We'll need a big game from Charlie Lindgren and a stronger performance than they showed here in Buffalo last week.
Yeah, I was going to get to that one, Bailey. The Buffalo scored a touchdown, didn't go for two. They were way faster, looked like Washington was in quicksand. What's the fix there, or is there one?
The fix is really them getting out to an early lead and capitalizing on some of the chances that they hopefully will generate. Last time, they went up 3 minutes into the game, had a bunch of chances to extend that lead and give themselves a little bit of breathing room, couldn't get any of them through, and that's kind of when the tide started to turn. They actually started that game pretty well and played well for most of the first period, and then it got away from them after that. So they certainly need to get themselves ahead here tonight and be playing from in front. It may help them that the Sabres were officially eliminated from playoff contention on Tuesday night in Dallas. So while they could be motivated by the idea of playing spoiler, they also are probably reeling a little bit from a season that they expected to be more positive than it has turned out to be. So that could work in the Caps' favor as well.
Yeah, they had a couple of guys take pucks up off the face that were dealing with injuries that played through it as they were fighting for the postseason 2 days ago. And you're right. You know, now all of a sudden you're eliminated for the 13th straight year. Maybe there's a little letdown. I mean, is that the anticipation, or do you think they do come out and find motivation at home to play spoiler? This is their home finale. It's fan appreciation night there.
Exactly. It is their home finale. It's fan appreciation night. Looks like they had pretty good energy at their morning skate this morning, a lot of lightness. They could easily be playing loose, and, you know, they don't have anything to worry about now. But at the same time, it's a little bit difficult to get up for a game when you've been eliminated and have tied the longest playoff drought in North American pro sports with 13 years. I was chatting with some of the Buffalo reporters this morning, and the feeling was that if the Caps do get out to an early lead, the fan base here has been pretty hard on the team so far this year, and if they're down early, the Sabres are, it could get a little bit ugly as far as some, you know, sell the team, change the coach type chance. So Caps definitely need to get out to a good start and kind of take control of things early to avoid it spiraling on them like it did last week. But if they are able to do that, I have a hard time believing the Sabres are going to have a ton left to put up a big fight.
Bailey, what's the latest on Rasmus Sandin?
No idea. Unfortunately, he's not on this trip. Took that hit by Parker Kelly at the end of the first period of the game against the Senators on Sunday. Spencer Carberry said it's possible that he doesn't play again this season just because there's not a whole lot of games left once they get back from this trip, whether they make the playoffs or not. So I will probably have a better update once they get back to D.C. and have seen him again.
What's notable, either injury outside of Sandin-wise or just Nuggets going into the game tonight on the Capital side of things? What do we need to know?
They're in pretty good health, pretty good shape, other than Sandin. They've got TJ Oshie back on Tuesday, and he got better as the game went along. Seemed in his usual high spirits and cheerful this morning. So look for him to put his pieces back together a little bit and probably have a stronger game from the beginning tonight, more along the lines of what he showed at the end of the game on Tuesday. Charlie Lindgren was outstanding on Tuesday, and the reason they won that game, and I have no reason to expect it'll be anything different for him tonight. He's been their backbone for so much of this season, and when he's had a little bit of ups and downs, he's always come back with several strong performances in a row, which he had on Tuesday, and they will need again tonight. Vinny Iorio, I thought, played well on defense in a limited role on Tuesday and may see a few more minutes tonight based on that, which would be positive for him and for the Caps to be able to spread the minutes around. John Carlson played almost 30 minutes the other night, which he's capable of, but is a lot. So if they're able to spread the wealth on the defensive side a little bit, that would be beneficial for them.
Yeah, Bailey, you mentioned it. In big picture, I'd obviously rather them make the playoffs than not, but this is kind of all, I don't know what the right word is exactly, but they stole one the other night, and that's cool. I'm glad they won over them losing, but none of this really matters to me unless they were able to kind of get back on the right foot and start playing well. But kind of your point, let you expound on that. They got to play better than they did the other night. It's not sustainable to make, you know, a Charlie Lindgren, Neo from the Matrix back there dodging all the bullets.
Exactly, and it's kind of an interesting line they're walking because at this time of year, it doesn't really matter how you play as long as you win, but they're asking for a lot if they're trying to keep winning games like that, and they've actually won a lot of games the way they did on Tuesday this year. So on one hand, though it's not sustainable, maybe they can pull together just enough of them down this stretch here in the last four games to pull off making the playoffs. But Spencer Carberry has talked about how they can't fully get away from the process, and the process has to be better because they were not playing well enough heading into Tuesday. I thought from the middle of the second period on, it got a lot better. So that's some positive signs for them to build on. And the thing Spencer said earlier this week that I just keep coming back to is he said, we need to start playing better. I think there's one more gear that we can find. And even if it's not enough at the end, like, they want to go out knowing that they gave it everything they had, found that last gear, and finish the year playing well. And at that point, then the chips will fall where they may, but they want to go out knowing they did everything they could and are not riding a stretch where they're not playing as well and just hoping for the best.
Really quickly, Bailey, before we move on, Red Wings Penguins tonight on the out-of-town scoreboard, the two teams a point back of Washington. Who should Caps fans prefer to win that game?
It's such a tough question. I've gone back and forth on it. There's one argument that says you want Pittsburgh to win because their remaining schedule is tougher, so Detroit has more of an opportunity to pick up points with what they've got left. So if Pittsburgh wins, that's a couple fewer points for Detroit to get, and that Pittsburgh faces a tougher road. But on the other hand, the Penguins have players that are very experienced in these situations and used to winning these games. Sidney Crosby's doing everything he can to will his team into the playoffs, while the Red Wings are faltering and are a little bit up and down, and beyond Patrick Kane, don't really have those guys. So if they win, they might still find the moment to be too big for them down the stretch, even though their schedule isn't as tough. So really the only thing Caps fans definitely are rooting for it not to be a three-point game. That game cannot go to overtime. But beyond that, as long as the Caps take care of their business tonight, it doesn't totally matter which team gets 2 points as long as there's not three.
Bailey, thank you as always. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Hit that Wizard sounder, Darius. Our guy Dave Johnson, you know him, Voice of the Wizards, joins us here on the Beltway Blitz. Dave, how good has Denny Avdija been here?
Oh, he's just been terrific all season. The most consistent player for the Wizards. Chris Wright, who does our post-game for Georgetown Star, said it best that by giving him a four-year contract extension before the season, it was just clearing his mind. He didn't have anything to worry about. Just go play ball. Go show us what you can do. And you know what? You know what? He is showing what he can do. He can, as Chris mentions, his ability to play make in transition. We've always talked about his high basketball IQ. You know, from his rookie season, he showed he could defend four positions. And what's exciting is I don't think we've hit the ceiling yet. And his progression has just been month to month, game to game, whatever cliche you want to use. And it's exciting because, you know, part of this process, you have to hit on your draft picks, not only going forward, but you also want ones you've already selected to succeed, thrive, and develop.
Dave, speaking of guys who are progressing, Jordan Poole, since he got benched, feels like he's been a different player. Had 24 points as they hung with the Wolves, had a fourth quarter lead going back, you know, a few nights ago. What's changed in his game since he was clearly upset about going to the bench?
Well, you know, let me be clear. When you're upset, he was not like pouting or obviously it showed his production. You know, he wanted to be a starter. Everyone wants to be a starter in this league. But the point you can't just play with players on paper. It's got to be how do they fit on the court. And obviously it wasn't fitting. We needed Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones has proven he is an elite NBA point guard. No, that's not too strong a statement. An elite NBA point guard. But then Jordan Poole likes to have his ball in his hands, and that helps his game. There's only one basketball out there, and it proved to be effective. With him coming off the bench, Tyus starting. Now it's not an issue because Tyus is you know, finished the season with a back injury. What the important thing is, and this is why they made the move at midseason, where they were going to make some adjustments, make some lineup changes. It wasn't about let's see if we can get the 40 wins. It was about let's make sure we're putting players in the best position to have success, to feel good about themselves, so they can go into the offseason saying, yeah, I've got something to build on. Because Jordan Poole, you didn't have to tell him. He's a smart guy. You sit down and talk with him. He knew he was having a tough year, to put it mildly, to start with. And what is probably not told, and it was something that was mentioned on our pregame, is Brian Keith, the coach, said, you know, he's one of the hardest working players he's ever been around. So, you know, I think when sometimes a player is not having success, like Jordan Poole was not having, you know, might be the perception that, well, he's not really giving his all, or he's not, you know, really putting the work in. That was not the case with Jordan Poole. It just wasn't happening. Now he's in a better place, a chance to succeed, and he's having success. And so, you know, this is where we are with two games left. You want the Jordan Pools to go into the offseason and say, all right, I've got something to build on here. Denny Avdia, it's about finishing strong. And then there's a collection of players that are getting opportunities to say, yeah, I'm Patrick Baldwin, and I'm 6'11", and I can shoot the three, and I can defend, and I'm getting an opportunity here. So, you know, that's what this team is all about. That's what this team, you know, why they stunned Minnesota the other night in Minnesota was 44 points in the first quarter. I really think Minnesota thought, you know, they're going to be able to come out and just kind of play, and that'll be it. This Wizards team, no matter what the circumstance, you know, they fight. It's a group of Tasmanian devils out there, if anybody remembers that cartoon, and they're going to play until the final buzzer.
Dave, thank you as always, bud. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it so much.
You got it, dude. Hit that local 53 sounder. He's so handsome. BetMGM tonight's Nick Ashew joins the talk about the local football team. Nicholas, do you care who they take it to, or is it just a quarterback at this point?
You know what's funny? About this on the show last night, we had a draft expert on from Bleacher. We were going back between Drake May. Like, I've really wavered back and forth because there's pros, there's upsides to both guys, but then there's certain worries with both at the same time. I was leaning Jaden Daniels for a while. I feel like I'm kind of leaning a little more Drake May because I am a little concerned about Jaden Daniels' size and the hits that he takes. Is he going to be able to slide?
Let's throw Nick on hold here real quick, guys, and reestablish a connection. I think he's probably too handsome for his phone. That's what happened.
I could
phone
be
face
wrong.
Couldn't handle it.
Is his phone terrible every time he comes on, or am I making that memory up?
I think you're making that up. I, I can't remember if this has happened before.
I feel like the last time we had him on, we tried like two or three times, and we just couldn't make it work.
Was it Nick that it happened to?
I mean, right. I could be wrong. I could be making up a memory because sometimes my mind plays tricks on me when I'm talking to Nick Ashew.
Yeah, I get nervous. Of the handsomeness. I get a little nervous. Nick, you were saying Jaden Daniels versus Drake May.
Yeah, first off, I hate the fact that we can do so many things with phones and yet we just can't have clear calls half the time. That's always fun. Anyway, I mean, listen, I've gone back and forth on this, and I think a lot of people have. Jaden Daniels certainly has his upside, but then there's Drake May, and I don't know how much you heard what I said before, but anyway, we had some draft on my side. Was it really high on Drake May? I've kind of been leaning more Drake May after Jaden Daniels. It's got to be quarterback. There's a chance that both of those guys hit. The reality of it is, though, if we go quarterback 1, 2, 3 in the draft, we've seen the history of the draft. One guy probably not going to work out. I kind of like Drake May a little more than Jaden Daniels. Some of it may be maybe a little PTSD because there's some reminders of RG3 and the way that he plays and his size and that type of thing. You worry about Jaden Daniels not sliding, and you can go on all kinds of compilations of the hits that he's taken, and it scares you when sometimes he gets hit and looks like a sideways horseshoe because he's getting bent backwards because he's getting plowed by somebody. So you get a little worried about that, but there's so much upside, and he's so accurate down the field. But Drake May is a really, really accurate intermediate passer that you love that. And then sometimes we talk about, well, Drake May kind of has that epic mentality like Josh Allen. Well, you know what? I'd love Josh Allen to be the quarterback of the Commanders. I would take that right now. In the end, we've been walking through a decade with no quarterback, no direction, no plan. To have one of these guys at least just be a good quarterback would be an upgrade from what we've had before at this spot. So at this point, I want to just trust the organization, trust that they're going through all of these different
All right, we'll let him jump right there on that. I will tell you, my body temperature rose a little bit. I started panting a couple times. Anybody else get a little short of breath when Nick was talking about getting plowed? Anybody else?
That was a thing.
You heard it. I heard it.
You're on a Zoom, so for people that don't know, if you didn't listen to the start of the show, I'm at the Monumental Studios. I've got an altcast tonight for the Caps Sabres game. So I'm broadcasting in a completely different location than Danny, who's in our normal Half Street Studios. But we're on a Zoom, so I can see Danny's face. And the moment that Ashew said something about he got plowed or whatever that was.
He's getting plowed by somebody is what he said.
Yeah, I think he was referencing like a football physical play.
A hard contact in a football scenario.
Danny's face changed considerably, and I think you were lost for the remainder of the interview. As long as it went, you were not going to be able to focus.
I think that's pretty much what happened. You get Nick Ashew to say that. I say that, no one cares. Yeah. Nick Ashew said it, man.
Not that interesting.
Yep.
But
yep.
Nick said it. Very different.
You're picturing his face saying it.
I was asked a question today in an interview that I did this afternoon about the Commanders draft that was really, really good. And I want to pose that question to you. It has nothing to do with quarterbacks or the number two pick. But it's the first time I've been asked the question this way, and I thought, let's dive into that on G&D. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Fan. We're Grant and Danny. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Top of the hour in 30 minutes at 5 o'clock. We've got an audio vault for you. And at 6 o'clock this evening, we will be catching up with Carl Alsner, former Caps defenseman, 9 years with the team here in D.C., who's going to be part of the Altcast I'm doing tonight on Monumental 2 as part of our Capitals Sabres broadcast options for you. So looking forward to talking to Alsner right here on G&D coming up in a bit. Danny, we're on Zoom, so you can see the top half of me pretty well.
Uh-huh.
But I'll just let you know while I let everybody else know. I'm going with a teal polo today.
We talked about this. I like this polo.
I have not worn this polo much. It's a little bright for my liking, but
embrace the inner prepster.
Extremely teal polo with dark blue jeans, and I got some brown dressy type boots on. What are we working with over there?
I like it. I got my short pants on, a little Under Armour polo. Actually, with my dad's shoes. But I have long told you need to branch out from just the occasional blue shirt, right? Which is what you would, that's what we would both buy if we weren't supervised. This color, it pops a little bit. I think it's going to work well. I don't know if you're going to blazer combo it. I don't know what you're going to do, but I think just like that, I think you're good to go for television.
Well, I'm not wearing this on TV at all, actually.
You're going to change?
I'm going to show you what I've got brewing here. Right. This will be great radio. So I'm going to turn the computer.
Yep.
So I've got my blue sports jacket hanging here. It's just hanging in like the off these pipes, basically, in this room.
Yeah, that's what it's for, probably.
Which is the best way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Then I've got two dress shirt options here, button downs. I've got this.
All right, so one is checkered. It's a nice pattern. I think I gave you that one.
It's like blue, purple, bunch of different colors.
Yep.
You may have. And then I've got this other more white checkered option with a little like red and darker blue in the pattern. So I don't know which of those you like better with the, I think I'm sticking with jeans.
Keep your jeans. Get me the lighter of the two shirts.
The white one?
The whiter one because with that blue blazer, it's really going to pop. It'll sing a little bit. I promise you. Yeah, that's the combo.
Now, would you prefer me to stay in these jeans or do you want me to slip on these like khaki dress pants? Right
no,
here?
keep the jeans. I think that looks a little bit more stylish. That's what we're going for. This is style over, because this is specifically not a formal occasion. They've let you know. So there's not a dress code you need to live up to. Does that make sense? If this was a business meeting or you and I were meeting at the country club or a number of different things and you kept the jeans on, I'd go, okay, Mr. Too Cool for School. I guess you don't really care about this business. You're not there for business. You're there to entertain. That jean says approachable yet stylish. The blazer says take me seriously. The shirt says you know what you're about. I'm telling you, that's the way to go.
There have been lots of conversations and meetings behind the scenes that I wasn't involved in and occasionally that have carried over even to me about like what they want us wearing for this casual. My point is like, where would you normally wear if we wanted to be authentic? Just kind of be yourself. But as I said, I don't know, you know, earlier you and I were talking about this. Like, these are hockey guys that I'm dealing with.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever seen a hockey guy, but most of them are handsome, and they all dress
They're
so 6'2", well.
185 is what they are, and they're handsome.
Totally. But they also, they have tailored suits. Their initials are on all of their shirts and their cufflinks. I mean, they're very, very classy. So when you say, hey, just be casual, dress how you'd want to, that just means take off the tie and have your awesome suit with like just a shirt on underneath of it. That's probably a more expensive shirt than anything I have in my closet. So mine is their ideas of casual, let's watch some hockey together. You know, mine is jeans and a button down, probably no sports jacket. We have not gotten there yet because each time I'm preparing to do that, I'm sitting next to guys in full suits.
Well, it's casual, but with a wink. In other words, if they really wanted casual, I'm just like, yeah, I'm probably wearing, you know, underpants and a beer stained T-shirt from the late 90s that I got at the Capitol Center.
What were you wearing for the Detroit game when you weren't on TV, when you were sitting in your basement? That's not an outfit anybody wants to see on television.
Yeah, I was wearing the popcorn kernel that missed my mouth. All right, don't tell me I was. You don't really want casual. You want presentable casual.
But tonight's the night for Monumental Channel 2 of their options, and you can get our second alt cast. Adam Eaton, Al Koken, Ole Kolzig going to be our guests in the three periods. So credit where it's due. If you're listening right now in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 1051, hopefully before we got on the air, you were listening to our buddy Adam Epstein. You know him as AWOD. Perhaps you're even a member of the AWOD Army. It's very possible.
Mm, yeah, of course.
It's a growing army. It's a many, many people form the army, the militia, if you will. Well, I was on AWOD's show this afternoon, and he asked me this question, Danny. And after I hung up the phone, I was thinking about it. I'm like, damn, that's a good question. I'm going to steal that.
Yep.
What he asked me was over under 1.5 picks for the Commanders in the first round 2 weeks from tonight on Thursday night. Round one, this is another fun way of asking, do they trade back up into the late first round, presumably to take a tackle? But I'm not even going to tell you my answer yet. I want to know yours. Over, under 1.5 picks for Washington in the first round.
I think this is as coin-tossy a proposition as you're going to find in this draft for Washington, right? Like, the number one coin toss is, as of right now, what quarterback they're taking it to. The second thing is, do they go back into the first round to get – presumably the left tackle, because of where the market is going to go, or where that draft presumably is going to go. Now, there's surprises all the time, and maybe a guy they like at 21 or 22 on their board is there at 36. That stuff happens all the time. It's routine. There are always, quote-unquote, surprises. Whew. Do they trade back into the first round for that tackle? Because I think you could, if you stayed put in the 30s, 36 and 40 where they are, you'd end up with a wide receiver you liked, right? I just think you would. I'm hemming and hawing because I'm trying to decide. I'm over-analyzing. I'm over-saying what the criteria are before I make my actual call because I haven't made it yet. I'm going to say under. I think they don't trade back into the first round, and they want quantity after pick number two.
I went over. I said that they do trade up to get a tackle. Here's my logic. Who did we have on a few days ago? I think it was Max Chadwick.
Max Chadwick of PFF, yeah.
And we were talking tackles. Darius, matter of fact, if you're able to find this, I'd love to hear exactly what he said. But I asked him something along the lines of, at number 36, when they're picking for the second time, just outside of the first round, are they going to be able to find a starting left tackle? And in a long-winded way, he kind of said, they're going to get a good left tackle. I'm not sure if it's someone that's going to be great starting right away, but they're certainly going to be able to get a tackle there. But he also, in that conversation, told us he thinks there could be 6-7-ish left tackles taken in the first round. Well, if that's the case, they have to trade up. If the run happens where not just the first four, bing, bang, boom, bing, comes off the board, but then the rest of the guys that might fall into the second round start going at 22, 24, 26, I don't think they're going to have a choice. They've boxed themselves in a little bit. This is the one position that they really didn't address enough to give themselves true freedom and flexibility in the draft. They can't risk, in my opinion, the second round ending after they pick 36-40, or if they pick again, move back or something. They can't risk going into the third round without having added their starting left tackle. Because at that point, what you're counting on is someone getting cut before or during training camp. And short of an agent already telling you, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we know our guy's getting cut, so you know, let's be on the phone in July. Then Cornelius Lucas is possibly your starting left tackle. If you just sit and wait till 36, all the tackles you really like are gone. Jay came on with us earlier. Jay Gruden said, we were going to take a player at 16. He went one pick earlier. We were screwed and had to scramble. That happens all the time. What happens if Morgan, the tackle from Arizona, goes at 35 and they're banking on him at 36? And now you've got to go corner there or tight end or wide receiver there, and you still don't have a left tackle. I think they probably have to come up into the first round. So I know it's probably the minority opinion. I think they trade up, and I do think they make two picks in the first round.
Jeeps, I haven't seen a mock draft lately that doesn't include eight tackles in the first round. Just, I think that's the point here, is after that eighth guy, which depends on where you're looking. It could be Guyton. It could be Jordan Morgan from Arizona, or you know, somebody else. You're going to find seven or eight guys that go in round number one. The point is, if it goes that way, right? If the fewer surprises, the worse it is for Washington in that case. Because you're right. I think one part of it is I would have loved for them to have signed a veteran. I would have won the bidding for Tyron Smith, for example, even on a short-term deal. Understand why they didn't. It wasn't a particularly good tackle market. Wasn't a great cornerback market either, for that matter. Those are a couple spots that kind of left open. You thought, okay, this is a great tackle draft and a great receiver draft. That's what they're thinking, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But one of the reasons you trade a Montez Sweat and take the short-term pain is for that long-term flexibility. You have assets where you can either sit and take a couple of guys if it breaks that way, or you can use it to trade up. It's all a net positive for you. So you could basically think of it as Montez Sweat bought us, you know, six weeks of not having Sweat brought us our starting tackle for the future, potentially, right? That's a good way to process it. But if you want one of these guys, there's a pretty significant drop off, again, according to the folks that cover this thing, between that last first round tackle, whoever you happen to have it be, and then the next guy that might go, far more developmental, far more, you know, hit or miss, maybe end of round two, round three, round four, which is just not where I want to be. That's too much Braden Daniels for me. I don't want to do that again. That's a position that they simply have to have. I think they need a receiver also, but I think it's easier to find one of those guys than it is to find one of these tackles.
Yeah, you look at the rankings, and you can move these players around a little bit depending on what site you look at or what draft expert you follow. But Joe Alt from Notre Dame, Fuaga from Oregon State, Fautanu from Washington, Fashanu from Penn State, Latham from Alabama. Those five guys are kind of their own group, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's Amarius Mims, Georgia, Graham Barton, Duke, Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma, Jordan Morgan, Arizona, as you know, the nine or so best tackles in the class. And to your point, maybe if Morgan ends up going ninth, you get him at 36 overall. I was seeing where he was one of the highest graded tackles in the league when left on an island this year. And maybe they think he's a first-round talent. He's their fourth-best tackle or something. Mm-hmm. And they think they could get him there and start him at left tackle. That's very possible. I alluded to this. Darius already tracked it down, so kudos to him. This was Max Chadwick of PFF. When we asked, how sure are we that the Commanders can get a starting left tackle in the mid-30s?
One of the best tackle classes I can remember, honestly. I mean, you could see eight guys go in the first round. I wouldn't bat an eye, honestly, which is an insane number of offensive linemen going in the first round. Even, I mean, more than eight if you count interior offensive linemen, too. But if you stick at, you know, 36, I think there are certain players that I like in that range. I think a guy like Jordan Morgan from Arizona, he could fall down. I think he's been a really, really good tackle for Arizona each of the last two seasons. I think he's a really good pass blocker and run blocker. There's other guys, too, that I think have high ceilings, like Kingsley Suamataia from BYU. The problem is that offensive tackle is one of those positions where, man, if you're a really good prospect, you're going to go in the first round. It's going to be tough for you to fall. So I wouldn't hate Washington trading back up into the first to get one of their guys if they really like someone. Like even keeping Olufashanu in, you know, getting him back home. You know, he's from the D.C. area, too. But if he starts falling on draft night, maybe Washington makes a move up. I don't quite see that happening for them to move up. But there are some other tackles, though, in the second round that I still think could be good players for Washington.
2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Let's do this thing, huh?
Here we go.
14 days out. It's almost over. If you're tired of hearing all the speculating and the discussing and the opining and editorializing, it is almost over. Don't you worry your little heart and soul. But I actually want to pose this question. We haven't really offered many opportunities for you guys to hit the phones today. I want to hear from people on this because Danny and I don't always disagree, but I like they're on different sides of this. I would bet right now that Washington goes up and gets a tackle in round one. I think they're going to need to. Danny's saying you sit pat, you wait till 36, you might still get your starter right then and there. And I just don't know that they can risk it. So the question is for you guys on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 1.5 picks in round one for the Commanders 2 weeks from today, over or under? 800-636-1067, we're G&D.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The one guy I'll probably circle for them right now is Jordan Morgan from Arizona. I think that's the guy that if you want to take a tackle at 36, he's probably going to be there. He's a guy that I really, really like in this class as well.
And he would be a day one starter at left tackle?
Obviously, that'd be a lot to ask from a second round pick. I don't hate it. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if you trot him out as your day one left tackle. But like, if you're looking for a day one left tackle, I mean, it's tough for me to say you're going to find that outside of the first round. Honestly, or even outside, there's only a few guys I'd be willing to say, okay, you're my starting left tackle, you know, week one in the NFL. Like Joe Alt is one of them. Olufoshano probably is another. After that, it starts getting a little hairy after that.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. That was Max Chadwick of Pro Football Focus discussing the tackle crop for Washington in round two. Look, if they had Charles Leno on the roster right now, I would not in any way advocate that they have to trade up. Or if they had even signed someone who's not as good as Charles Leno, but who has started several games the last couple of years and is a starting tackle in the NFL that could play left tackle, I would say, don't bother trading up. Stand at 36, see who falls, take the best tackle you like the most, develop them as the season goes on. But that's not what happened. They have a weak starting situation on the right side at tackle, where Andrew Wiley gave up almost 10 sacks last year for the second straight season. And at left tackle, Cornelius Lucas, who has been a third tackle in the league for the majority of the last several seasons, is currently penciled in on the left side. And they don't have a starter. So because of that, Danny, I think they boxed themselves in a little bit. They have to find one in this draft. And if you stand at 36 and stay pat and you don't get one, now you're scrambling and hoping that somebody gets cut into the middle of the training camp or offseason or something who can start for you. That's not a good place to be with a rookie quarterback at number two. So I think they're going to move up. I think they're going to get a tackle in the late first round. The question we're posing to you guys right now, 800-636-1067, more than one pick in the first round or not? We're setting the over-under at 1.5. I'm going over.
The reason I go under is I don't disagree with anything you just said. I don't. I just think stuff happens in the draft. There's always a Washington, like a team that thinks of a guy that's probably a second rounder or a third rounder. They go, we're taking him around one. Stuff happens where guys are going to fall, quote unquote, according to our prognostications. And again, no one knows anything, but there's always somebody that slips. You know, a couple years ago, remember it was like, will Washington draft Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, you know, or whatever. I can't say the last name, but he ended up going at the end of the second round to Cleveland. And he was a projected first rounder. Stuff like that always goes on in the draft. So I'm not betting against the situation that you just laid out because it's true. They left themselves no out, and they absolutely have to end up out of this offseason with a brand new tackle somewhere, presumably and hopefully the guy of the future. But how they get him, I think, is going to be the variable. I think somebody slips, and that's how it'll end up happening.
Let's go to the phones. MGM National Harbor listener line. Hop in now, 800-636-1067. Chris is in Calvert on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
Not too much, guys. I'm not going to say one way or another what I think they're going to do, but I definitely think they should try to trade back into the first round for a tackle. I don't put a lot of weight into mock draft simulators, but I did one just for fun the other night. And I wasn't planning on trading any of the picks. I was going straight up with the picks we have to see who we might land. And New England
made a trade offer where they swapped first round picks and they gave me their second round pick this year and their first round pick next year. They ended up taking Drake May, so I selected Jaden Daniels third overall, and then I traded with the Titans the New England second round pick, the Bears second round pick, and New England's first rounder next year, moved back up to seven and got Joe Alt, which was amazing. And then with the third rounder, I took Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. So with the first three rounds, we ended up with Jaden Daniels, Joe Alt, and Xavier Leggett.
You're hired.
That's a wonderful draft simulator, Hall. I certainly
you
appreciate
are hired, sir. Now, with all due respect to Adam Peters, who has not run a draft yet, he's not going to come away from the draft as well as you did in that simulator. That would be funny if we just started taking calls from people on, what did you get on your draft simulation? That's like one day before we say, tell us about your fantasy team, right?
But that one pick between rounds five and six, who are you considering? Who got taken right out from underneath you? And who'd you end up with? Well, that's a lot. All right. But the point, though, is the big takeaway, not the specifics of that. I've already forgotten what the haul was or how it happened. But how fluid this process is. Right, your best laid plans, you've got to maintain that flexibility, understanding where you need to end up, but how you get there could be dramatically different. In other words, let's say, again, two or three tackles are available to you there at 36. You didn't have to do anything. But if you start doing the math when pick number 22, 23 is on the board going, there's one guy left. There's one guy left, and there's probably two or three teams that very reasonably could take a tackle. We've got to act now. You put yourself in a position to do that by acquiring extra assets. After pick number two, you've got your extra second rounder. You've got more ammunition now with an extra third round pick from the Chase Young deal. You can make some maneuvers, whereas you maybe weren't able to do so before. And for a rebuilding team, that's essential.
So you said something I wanted to circle back to really quickly that was smart a minute or two ago when you were referencing like you want the unexpected to happen or you're hoping for the non-tackles coming off the board. If you're a Commanders fan, you want a wide receiver run, right? Where that's clearly a need for them as well. They're still going to be able to get someone who can help them, 36 or 40 regardless. But, you know, Neighbors and Adunze and Marvin Harrison, those guys are locks to go in the top 10. Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU is going to go early first. But you want a Donnie Mitchell or Ladd McConkie, Troy Franklin from Oregon, Roman Wilson from Michigan. Well, there's reports Washington's all over. Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Some of those guys, you want them going in round one. Or, honestly, you want Penix and Nix. Like, you want to hear their names called at 12 or 13. The Broncos reach, we think, on Bo Nix or something. Because with every one of those picks, it's not a tackle, and it boosts their chances of being able to grab one. Let's go to Zeke in D.C. on G&D. What's up, Zeke? How are you?
All right. Doing great. I definitely think it'll be an over. They're going to move up in the late first to get a tackle, and I think that's what they should do. But also, I think but only if they don't have to give up a lot of draft capital. If I can get away with giving them one of my thirds and another late round, then I'd make that deal. But on the other hand, I want them in the second round to pick up another tackle slash guard, the best prospect. I think we need to shore up that offensive line. I don't see where we need another receiver, not that early. We can get one later in the round, a big possession receiver. What do you guys think about that?
Appreciate you.
Thanks, bud.
And we talk about receiver on this show quite a bit. I mean, we think it's a massive need, especially if you're taking a quarterback. You got to give him as many weapons as possible. By the way, how good of a debate is this? About 350 votes in. I just posted a poll on X at Grant H. Paulson if you want to go vote. Will the Commanders make over or under 1.5 picks in the first round 2 weeks from today? 49.2% are saying over. 50.8% are saying under. So
seems pretty close.
Can't get any tighter than that on a poll on X. Let's give you an audio vault next. Some of the best audio making the rounds online and some of the best audio in sports the last few days right here on G&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.